بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our 30th session. Reading from Arabic Lessons in Fiqh, Level 3, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. In today's session, we're going to continue with Salatul Musafir, the prayer of the traveler. Specifically, we're going to deal with the combining of prayers, Al-Jama'. We're going to be reading from page 50, and it's very brief what has been mentioned here concerning this particular topic on page 50 in our textbook, and also in Al-Wajiz, Fiqh al-Sunnah wal-Kitab al-Aziz. We're going to be reading the same topic on page 145, 146, and 147. And I'm also going to read, yani, as long as we have enough time, I'm going to read from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen's book Al-Jami, Li Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. And I couldn't find any PDF file for that book. But in any case, in the book of Hajj, he has some comments concerning combining the prayers. And that will be, if anybody is able to go back to that book, it's on page 301 and page 302. Just some brief comments there, 301 and 302. And then I sent the PDF file to the class, the Al-Ikhtiyarat Al-Fiqhiyya Li-Shaykh Al-Albani, Al-Ikhtiyarat Al-Fiqhiyya for Shaykh Al-Albani. And I also have some notes here I'm going to read from there, from page 162, after Salat Al-Eidain, it has Salat Al-Safar. And 163, yani points, each issue is listed as a point, so it's point number 178 and point number 179. So hopefully I'm going to try to read some of these extra comments just to fill in, because in our book that we are following, yani the information that has been provided on this subject is very brief. So just to kind of fill in some of the points and deal with some of the issues that are not covered here, we're going to read from some other secondary sources. Okay, so if you're reading from the book on page 50, and in any case, before we even read that, I just want to quickly remind us that last week we covered the first part of Salat al-Musafir, that is Al-Qasr, and we talked about the legislation of shortening the prayers, yani being based in the Quran and the Sunnah and the Ijma'ah. And then we mentioned that the hukum concerning shortening the prayers in Safar, there's difference of opinion about it. Some of the scholars say that it is sunnah, to shorten the prayers is sunnah, and it is a rukhsa, a permission that Allah has given. And that the stronger view concerning this is that this sunnah, this permission, yani is afdal, yani that it is better that a person shorten the prayers than that they pray them in full. Other opinion is that it's obligatory, and we mentioned some evidences concerning that. We also talked about the masafa, the distance that is necessary for requiring, for allowing a person to shorten the prayers, and we said that that distance is whatever is considered to be traveling in that place, in that era. Whatever is considered to be traveling to those people, then that. And there's no specified minimum distance that you have to travel. As far as when does the permission begin, once you're a traveler, that once you got outside of the city that you live in, even if you only traveled 1 mile, okay, even if you only traveled 1 mile, if you are actually going from one place to another in that time, in that era, and that place is considered traveling. Once you leave the outskirts of the town, then you're allowed to start and you're taking advantage of the permission to shorten the prayers. And the permission to shorten the prayers ends when you returned, when you entered the beginning houses of the city or town or village that you live in. And there were some points that we discussed in detail, but in any case, let us suffice with that and go on to the topic for today, which is entitled ثانياً الجمعُ بين الصلاتين. الجمعُ بين الصلاتين. This is a very important topic, yani the combining between two prayers. Very important topic because in this day and time people travel a lot. Maybe in the old days people didn't travel a lot because of the great hardship and difficulty. People only used to travel when there was a necessity. Otherwise, nobody's going to travel across a desert in 150 degree temperatures unless you really have a need to travel. It's just too difficult traveling. There were no buses and trains and planes and stopover stations and all that kind of stuff where you can eat and drink and rest, hotels and motels. You were just out there on your own. So people didn't travel a lot. Today, people travel all the time. Okay, so this is something that we need to know about. And even if you are not a person who travels a lot like me, I don't travel a lot, but it may happen sometimes that you may have to travel out of need or necessity. So everybody needs to know about this. And this is a matter, yani, the combining of the prayers, which is not specifically related to traveling. Not specifically related to traveling, but traveling is one of the reasons due to which a person can combine the prayers. As far as shortening the prayers, we said last week, shortening the prayers is specific, exclusive to traveling. It's not allowed to shorten the prayers while you're resident. It is allowed to combine the prayers while you're resident if there's some, yani, legislative reason for you to combine. Okay, so the difference between shortening al-qasr and combining al-jama' is that shortening the prayers is exclusive to traveling. It's not allowed for a resident to shorten the prayers. And as far as combining the prayers, it may be done for a traveler or other than a traveler. I'm going to talk a little bit about that from what we read from the secondary sources. Okay, so the first thing on page 50 that we have is the title, Al-Jam Bain As-Salatain, Min Yusril Islami An Rakhasa Aw Rukhisa Lil-Musafir Al-Jam. Rukhisa Lil-Musafir Al-Jam Bain Al-Dhuhri Wal-Asri Wakadhalika Bain Al-Maghrib Wal-Isha'i. Yani, from the ease of Islam is that permission has been given for the traveler. Yani, a rukhsa, a permission, a facility of ease has been given for the traveler to combine al-jama', combine between al-dhuhr and asr, and likewise between al-maghrib wal-isha. وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَدِيثُ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ارتحل قبل أن تزيغ الشمس أخر الظهر إلى وقت العصر ثم نزل وجمع بينهما وإذا زاغت الشمس قبل أن يرتحل should be يرتحل the word يعني is written without ta it's a printing mistake قبل أن يرتحل صلى الظهر ثم رقب متفق عليه. نعم. I'll come back to it, inshallah. Okay, in the beginning, yani, it's actually on the first, second, third, fourth line, one, two, three, fourth word. Fourth line, fourth word. Okay, so the evidence for this permission to combine between Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha is the hadith of Anas Ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. He said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam idha irtahala." Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would depart to go on a journey, qabla an tazigha ash-shamsu, before the sun began to decline. Yani, if he departed to go on a journey before the sun began to decline, akhara adh-dhuhr ila waqt al-'asr, then he would delay Dhuhr until the time of Asr. Yani, meaning he's getting ready to depart, to go on a journey, and the time for Dhuhr hasn't come yet. So he would delay it. He would just travel, and he would delay it until the time of Asr came. And at the time of Asr, then he would, yani, ثُمَّ نَزَلَ فَجَمَعَ بَيْنَهُمَا, then he would descend from his mount, from his riding animal, and combine between the two of them, Dhuhr and Asr. The Prophet ﷺ, he's getting ready to depart, to leave from Medina, to go on a journey. Dhuhr time didn't come yet. So you can't pray before it's time, right? So he'll just start traveling. And he won't stop when Dhuhr came in. He'll just keep traveling and delay it until the time for Asr came. When the time for Asr came, now he'll stop, get down from his mount, and then he'll combine Dhuhr and Asr in the time of Asr. It's clear? Tayyib. This hadith So إذا زاغت الشمس قبل, the second situation, يعني he's getting ready to depart for a journey. This time, Anas says, وَإِن زَاغَتَ الشَّمْسُ قَبْلَ أَن يَرْتَحِلَ. Here's the word where it's printed wrong. But if he, يعني, if the sun began to decline before he departed to go on the journey, صَلَّ الظُّهْر ثُمَّ رَقِبَ. Then he would pray Dhuhr. If the time for Dhuhr had come in, then he would pray Dhuhr. Then he would ride. Then he would leave. He would pray Dhuhr and then he would leave. Okay, so he mentioned two situations. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh, and it's amongst many narrations about the Prophet's traveling. This is one of them. Hadith of Anas, he mentions two situations. The Prophet is getting ready to depart on a journey. If the sun began to decline, time for Dhuhr is in, he will pray it. And then he will ride. First situation, he's ready to depart. It's not time for Dhuhr. He can't pray it, so he'll just begin his journey and he'll keep traveling until the time for Asr arrives, and then in the time of Asr he'll stop, get down from his mount, and he'll pray both of them, Dhuhr and Asr, in the time of Asr. If the sun began to decline, Dhuhr is in, he'll pray it, and then he'll start the journey, praying Dhuhr alone. If the time for Dhuhr didn't come, then he'll just start traveling and he'll wait till Asr time and pray both of them together. Naam, Omar. Yeah. Question is not clear. No, let him explain it one more time. Let me just try to focus. Okay, the second situation is, and his second situation is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sun zaghat ash-shams. The sun declined.
So he prayed Dhuhr only.
And time for Dhuhr came in. He's not traveling yet. Okay. He's still resident.
Okay.
He's getting ready to depart. The time for Dhuhr came in. No. So he prayed Dhuhr and then he traveled.
Yeah. So in that case, you can pray both Dhuhr and Asr.
The rule is that you cannot yani do it except for a need or necessity. We're going to talk about it in detail. But his rule, his practice was, if the time for Dhuhr was in, he will just pray Dhuhr. I'm not saying you can't combine them, because you can combine even if you're resident, right? A person who's resident, not traveling at all, you can combine prayers, right? With certain reasons or cause. So we're not saying you can't combine, but we're saying, what did he used to do? He didn't used to combine them. He will only pray Dhuhr.
For the sake of the traveling, he cannot combine.
We're going to say like this. I'm going to say it like this, okay? Because this topic has some details. Okay, so let's take it step by step. We're going to say, this is what the Prophet, Anas is saying, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. If the time for Dhuhr was in before he began his journey, he would just pray Dhuhr. He wouldn't combine. We're not saying you can't combine, but we're saying he didn't used to combine. So this is what the sunnah is, this is what we should do. Yani if a situation is demanding that we have to combine for some reason, that's a different situation. We'll come to that, inshallah. But the normal rule is, you're on a normal journey, you're getting ready to travel, time for Dhuhr came in, pray Dhuhr before you leave. But you can't pray Asr until time for Asr came. You're not on the journey yet. You know? I mean, that's the general rule. The exception to the rule, somebody's in a pressing situation, need, necessity, emergency, whatever, that's different. We'll talk about that as we come to it. Okay, so this is the first evidence for combining the prayers, Dhuhr and Asr, Maghrib and Isha. Okay? After this it says, Wali Muslim, yani meaning another hadith from Anas ibn Malik, but this time, this is narrated by Muslim. The first narration from the hadith of Anas is in Bukhari and Muslim, Muttafaqun Alayh. Here, there's a wording from Anas that's only reported by Imam Muslim. It's not in Bukhari. Okay, what's the wording that came in Muslim alone? إِذَا عَجَّلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْرُ يُؤَخِّرُ الظُّهْرُ إِلَىٰ وَقْتِ الْعَصْرِ فَجَمَعَ بَيْنُهُمَا وَيُؤَخِّرُ الْمَغْرِبُ حَتَّى يَجْمَعَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ الْإِشَاءِ هِنَ يَغِيبُ الشَّفَقُ. Okay, narration reported by Imam Muslim, إِذَا عَجَّلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّيْرِ. Yani, he was in a hurry. The need to, a sayr means to travel. Yani, to go, get on the road, to start moving. Yani, عَجَّلَ إِلَيْهِ, he was hastened, in a hurry, to get traveling, to start the traveling. In that case, يُؤَخِّرُ الظُّهْرِ إِلَى وَقْتِ الْعَصَرِ. Then he would delay dhuhr until the time of asr. Okay? And then he would combine between them. And he would also delay the maghrib until he combined it with the isha at the time hina yaghibu ash-shafaqu. What does that mean? Hina yaghibu ash-shafaqu. When the twilight disappears from the horizon. Meaning the red glow in the sky at the time of sunset when it's gone completely. Ash-shafaq. The red glow from the sun at its time of setting. That glow that's in the sky until it's gone completely. And that time he would combine between Maghrib and Isha. Yani when the red glow is gone, that's the beginning of the time of Isha. Yani when the red glow is gone, that's the beginning of the time of Isha. So now if you are in the desert or in an open land and you see watch the sun setting and you look up in the sky and see when the red glow is gone from the sky, you will find that it is not 1.5 hours after Maghrib, as in the clocks and calendars today. It is not 1 hour and 15 minutes after Maghrib. It might be at most maybe 40 or 45 minutes. It's gone completely. It's completely dark in the sky. That's the beginning of the time of Isha. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we found some brothers from Africa, and I heard people criticizing them for praying the Isha early. And it's permissible because that's the beginning of the time of Isha. When the red glow from the sunset is gone, that's the beginning of the time of Isha, not the time that's on the clock. Okay? So I'm saying that because the Prophet ﷺ used to delay the Isha prayer until many of the people came to the masjid. So delaying it is fine. But praying it when it first came in is also permissible. And the Prophet ﷺ, the sunnah, is that if the people gathered, he would pray it in the beginning of his time. And if not, he would wait until most of the people came. Alright? So this is really the sunnah. Okay? Naam.
So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how would they come? When would they do the adhan for Isha? Would they delay the adhan as well? Or would they make the adhan when the red glow was gone?
Allahu alam. I didn't read any hadith about that, but it is narrated in Bukhari Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray the prayer in the beginning of the time if the people attended. So if the people were there in the masjid in the beginning of its time, then they would pray. And if they were not, then he would delay. As far as the adhan, yani Allahu alam. But normally the adhan should be called in the beginning of the time of the prayer. Even if you don't pray in the beginning of the time, the adhan should be called when the time comes in. But I don't have any hadith, so I'm not going to yani take any position concerning that particular issue without any proof. Okay, so I just want to add here from Bulugh al-Maram two other narrations. And we do have a PDF for Bulugh al-Maram. There are two other narrations that came under this hadith. One of them, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he mentions, وَفِي رِوَايَةِ الْحَاكِمِ. These narrations are from Bukhari and Muslim that we read. In the narration of Hakim, in his Mustadrak, with an isnad that Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says is sahih, with an isnad that's sahih, he says, صَلَّ الظُّهُرْ وَالْعَصْرَ ثُمَّ رَقِبَ. Yani before he went to depart, he prayed ظُهُرْ وَالْعَصْرَ ثُمَّ رَقِبَ. This wording could lead somebody to believe that when the Prophet was going on a journey and the time for Dhuhr came in, he prayed Dhuhr and Asr before he left. Which is contrary to the narration that's in Bukhari and Muslim. Is it clear? Yani it could lead you to believe that, right? Salla Dhuhr wal Asr, thumma raqiba. Then he rode. But Al-Hafidh brings another narration after that which clarifies it. The narration of Abi Nu'aym fi Mustakhraj Muslim. Yani Abu Na'im, he has a mustakhraj upon Muslim, in which he brings some of the hadith that yani should have yani according to the condition of Imam Muslim. In his narration, he mentions kana, either kana fi safar. In the narration of Abu Na'im, it says kana, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to either kana fi safar, if he was actually on the journey. فَزَاغَ الشَّمْسُ, and then the sun began to decline. صَلَّ الظُّهْرَ عَصَى جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ ارْتَحَلَ. Then he would pray Dhuhr and Asr together, yani combining them, and then he would yani depart. Yani if he was fi safar, he was already on a journey. Yani this will become clear in other narrations of this hadith and other books, that the meaning here of this narration of Hakim is clarified in the narration of Abu Nu'aym, and that is that if the sun had begun to decline, the Prophet would pray Dhuhr and Asr and then ride, meaning if he was already on the journey. He's already on a journey, he stopped over someplace. If the sun began to decline, then he would pray Dhuhr and Asr together, and then he would, and he'd get back on the road. And he's on a journey, stopped over someplace, rested, spent the night, whatever, and then, yani, Dhuhr came in. Then he prayed Dhuhr and Asr together. Okay, so I'm mentioning this in case somebody sees this narration, then they should understand it in the light of the other narration, and that is that the meaning here is that if he was already on a journey. And this point is very important, because some of the narrations concerning the Prophet ﷺ combining prayers, some of them don't clarify if this happened when he was getting ready to depart or he had already departed. He was already on the road. And so we should understand that the guide for us, the dhabit here, is to distinguish between the narrations when he was getting ready to depart to go on a journey, or when he was getting back on the road after stopping over during a journey. Please distinguish between the two. Okay? If he was getting ready to depart from Medina and he hadn't begun the journey, then what he would do was what Anas mentioned in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. If the time for Dhuhr came in, he would pray Dhuhr alone and then he would get on the road. And if the time had not come, then he would get on the road and he would pray them together in the time of Asr. That's how it's narrated from Anas in Bukhari Muslim, and that is the standard rule. That's our yani dhabit. That's our rule that we're going to guide us. The other narrations that mention him, if the time for Dhuhr came in, that he would combine Dhuhr and Asr together, means when he was already on a journey. When he was already on a journey. Okay? So just try to keep that in mind. Otherwise, some of these narrations sound a little confusing. It's not really clear. And what is intended here? Okay, this is what is mentioned in our book. I'm going to read now from Al-Wajiz. Al-Wajiz, that we have a PDF file for, right? On page 145, 146, and 147. Okay, they mention a number of narrations, and that's why I wanted to look at the other narrations that they mention here. But keep it in mind, the narrations that we mentioned first are the narration from Bukhari and Muslim. From Bukhari and Muslim, from Anas. Those are crystal clear. Those narrations are clear. In Wajiz, on page 145, it says in the half of the page, Al-Jam Bain As-Salatain, combining between two prayers. Asbabuhu. Asbabuhu. What are the causes or the reasons due to which a person can combine the prayers? And then they mention, number one, As-Safar. And on the next page, number two, they mention Al-Matar. And on the bottom of that page, they mention number three, Al-Hajah, Al-Aridah. So they are saying that there are three reasons due to which a person may combine prayers. The first of them is traveling, but that's not the only reason. Another reason could be Al-Matar, yani bad weather, inclement weather. And a third reason could be Al-Hajah, Al-Aridah, yani some need that is a passing need. It's not yani ongoing situation, but something came up, there was some need, and in that case, it's permissible that a person might combine the prayers for some need. We're going to talk about this in detail, because this is the one that requires really a lot of explanation. As far as traveling, we know about combining. As far as inclement weather, we know about combining. But as far as there's some need to combine, that requires some discussion. So we'll come to it. But just to kind of put it in focus, they mention three things. Asbab of Jam Bain As-Salatain, the first As-Safar. They mention the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would depart for a journey before the sun began to decline, he would delay Dhuhr until the time of Asr, and then he would descend, and then he would combine between them. And if the sun had already declined before he departed, then he would pray Dhuhr and then get on the road. That's what we read from the first book. Second narration it brings, hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet كان في غزوة التبوك. He was in the غزوة of Tabuk. إِذَا ارْتَحَلَ. Okay, keep in mind, he was in a ghazwa, Tabuk. He was at war. But what's more important is that he wasn't in Medina, he was in Tabuk. He was on the journey. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana fi ghazwat Tabuk. He was in the midst of the ghazwa of Tabuk. إِذَا ارْتَحَلَ قَبْلَ أَن تَزِيغَ الشَّمْسِ. قَبْلَ أَن تَزِيغَ الشَّمْسِ, before the sun began to decline, if he departed before the sun began to decline, أَخَّرَ الظُّهْرَ حَتَّى يَجْمَعَهَا إِلَى الْعَصْرِ. Then if he departed before the sun declines, before the entry of the time of Dhuhr, then he would delay Dhuhr until he would combine it with Asr. وَيُصَلِّهُمَا جَمِيعًا. And he would pray them together. وَإِذَا ارْتَحَلَ بَعْدَ زِغَ الشَّمْسِ. But if he, get back on the road after the sun had begun to decline, صَلَّ الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ جَمِيعًا. Before he got back on the road, he would, if the time for Dhuhr came, and he would pray Dhuhr and he would pray Asr, both of them together, ثُمَّ سَارَ, and then he would, travel again. وَكَانَ إِذَا ارْتَحَلَ قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ. And likewise, if he began to travel before the time of Maghrib, then he would delay Maghrib, and then until he would pray it along with Isha. And if he began to travel after Maghrib had come in, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, then he would عَجَّلَ الْإِشَاء. He would hasten the Isha, meaning he would pray the Isha in the time of Maghrib, and he would pray it along with the Maghrib prayer. Okay, so this narration gives us a little bit more detail, but remember, it's what? He was in the Ghazwat Tabuk, meaning he was already on the road. So when he was on the road, if he's getting ready to get back and travel again after stopping somewhere for some time, if the time for Dhuhr came, and he would pray Dhuhr and Asr, because he's already a traveler. And if it didn't come in, then he would delay it until the time of Asr and pray Asr. And the same thing for Maghrib. If Maghrib were already in, he'll pray Maghrib and Isha in the earlier time of Maghrib. If it wasn't already in, he'll delay it, and he'll pray both of them in the later time of Isha. This narration is authentic narration, Sahih Abu Dawud. And the Sahih of Abu Dawud is also reported by Ahmed and At-Tirmidhi. That's the hadith of Mu'adh. Then they said, wa'anhu, wa'anhu, meaning? Same narrator. Anhu, whenever you see wa'anhu, especially in Bulugh Maram, this is not Bulugh Maram, it's Wajiz, but if you see wa'anhu means from the same person that the previous narration we mentioned, that is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he said, annahum kharaju ma rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam am tabuk. He's talking again about Ghazwat Tabuk. This is another narration from Mu'adh, that they went out, they went out on a journey with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the year of the Ghazwat of Tabuk. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَجْمَعَ بَيْنَ الظُّهْرَ عَصَى وَالْمَغْرَبَ الْإِشَاءَ. He's saying it was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during that journey, that he would combine between Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. And this narration here lets us to know that some people, there are some madahib that, or some scholars, who hold the opinion of only combining Maghrib and Isha and not Dhuhr and Asr. And here, Mu'adh is saying that when the Prophet was in the battle of Tabuk, he was, kana means what? That's what he was doing all the time. Kana yajma' bayn al-dhuhr wal-asr and Maghrib al-Isha. So he was combining all the time between Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. Qala fa'akhara as-salat yawman. One day he delayed the prayer, while he was out on this journey. Thumma kharaja fa-salla dhuhr wal-asr jamiyan. One day he delayed the prayer, and then he came out of his tent, and when he came out, he prayed Dhuhr and Asr together. ثُمَّ دَخَلَ. Then he re-entered his tent. ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. And then he came out after some time. فَصَلَّ الْمَغْرِبُ وَالْإِشَاءَ جَمِيعًا. What do we understand from this narration? Mu'adh is saying now that what he was doing was combining Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha. That's what he was regularly doing. He said, فَأَخَّرَ صَلَاتِ يَوْمًا. But one day, while he was on this journey, the Prophet delayed the prayer. And he came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he prayed Dhuhr and Asr together, and then he entered his tent and came out later on and prayed Maghrib and Isha together. The point here that is of real significance is that this is a proof further than not just combining Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, but it's also a proof of something else. Naam?
So we can
Okay, you can delay. You can be prayed in the earlier time or the later time. Or you can bring the later salah to the earlier one. Yani, because he delayed Dhuhr. And then he combined it with Asr. And the second one, he came out and prayed Maghrib and Isha together. There's one more point here that's really important that we're going to come to later on. But here in this hadith is the proof of it. And that is, the Prophet prayed Dhuhr and Asr. He delayed the prayer. Yani, were they on the road? He said he came out. And then, that means they stopped somewhere. And he delayed the prayer and he came out and prayed Dhuhr and Asr. He went back in his tent and he came out later and prayed Maghrib Isha. That means that he wasn't on the road. He has stopped somewhere. And he stayed there for a long time. Because he prayed Dhuhr, he prayed Asr, he prayed Maghrib and Isha. He went in his tent and he came back out. They were traveling. They stopped for some time. The point here that I want you to pay attention to is that there are some scholars who hold that you can only combine the prayers if you in the process of traveling. Meaning you are a traveler but you stop over, no combining anymore. This hadith is the proof that even if you stop over someplace and you're going to be there until the time of the next prayer, the third prayer and the fourth prayer, you're going to be there for some time, it's still possible to combine the prayers. It's still permissible, although that's not what's best, but it's permissible. Because what? Mu'adh is saying here, the Prophet did that one day. He's not saying that was his regular practice, but that day we stopped over and we stayed in that place all day long. And the Prophet prayed Dhuhr and Asr, went back in his tent, and later on he came out and prayed Maghrib and Isha. Okay, we're going to come back to this point again, but I just want you to pay attention to this hadith, because this is the hadith that's the proof of that. Against those who say that you can't combine the prayers except while you're actually in the process of traveling. You stop, you can combine the prayers. But if you stop over somewhere and you stay there, you can't combine anymore. That's what? That's the opinion of some of the scholars. And we're going to say that this hadith is a proof against that. Naam? Now, he's a traveler for sure. But the point they're saying, even though you're still a traveler, if you're not in the course of traveling, where you stop and join the prayers, you're not in the course, but you have stopped over, you're going to stay there for 5 hours or 10 hours or the whole day. They're saying that, this is one view, that you can't combine the prayers. You can still shorten, but you can't combine because you're going to be there until the time of the next prayer. So you can't combine. But if you're on the road and you pull over at a service station, you didn't really, you're not going to stay there for 5 hours. You're just stopping over just to pray. So that way you can combine the prayers. Otherwise, if you're not, and there's a narration that indicates that. But then there are other narrations like this one, which clarify that even though that was the norm, but it's also permissible if you stop over someplace. Okay, this is what we wanted to mention about the first cause, that is traveling. And we're going to come back to this topic again when I read from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and Sheikh Al-Albani. The second cause is matar. And matar means what?
Rain.
Is it limited to rain though?
No,
rain, inclement weather. The rain is one of the things that was most common to make difficult for the people to, you know, go in and out, going back and forth to the masjid. So the Prophet ﷺ would combine the prayers due to rain. And likewise, for the same reasoning, whatever might cause difficulty equal to that or greater than that also is a reason to combine the prayers. Al-Matr. An-Nafi' rahimahullah anna Abdullah min? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Abdullah ibn Abbas? Abdullah ibn Umar. How you know it's Abdullah ibn Umar and not ibn Abbas? How? How you know? Because Nafi is the Mawla of Ibn Umar. He was the student of Ibn Umar and his freed slave. So Nafi learned from Ibn Umar. And Nafi, I'm just checking y'all, see if you're awake or not. And Nafi, anna Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, kana idha jama'a al-umara'u bayna al-maghrib wal-isha fil matr jama'a ma'ahum. What is the meaning of this, Ya Ibrahim?
Idha jama'a al-umara'u.
Those who did what?
Al-Umara bil-Ain
bil-Hamza.
The leaders.
When the leaders, the Amir, would combine the prayers, al-Maghrib wal-Isha, due to rain, Abdul ibn Umar used to combine with them. The Amir was combining the prayers, Abdullah he prayed, he combined with them. So if the leader combined the prayers, you can combine with them. If they don't combine the prayers, you can't combine. Huh? Alright? This is from Yani Nafir, from the practice of Abd ibn Umar. The next narration they bring is from Hisham ibn Urwa. Anna Abahu Urwa was Sa'id ibn Musayyib, wa Abu Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn al-Harith ibn Hashim ibn al-Mughira al-Makhzumi kanu, three of them, kanu yajma'una bayn al-Maghrib wal-Isha fi al-Laylati al-Mutirati. Iza jama'u bayn al-Salatayn wala yunkiruna thalika. Kanu yajma'una bayn al-Maghrib wal-Isha fi al-Laylati al-Mutira. Iza jama'u, if they, yani the leaders and their people who were behind them, combine between two prayers, then Urwa, he used to join them, combine with them. Sa'id ibn Musayyib used to do so, and Abu Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman also used to do so in the rainy nights. Al-Layla al-Muthira, in the rainy nights. إِذَا جَمَعُوا بَيْنَ السَّلَاتَيْنِ وَلَا يُنْكِرُونَ ذَلِكَ. What is the meaning of لَا يُنْكِرُونَ ذَلِكَ? What's the significance of these words? They didn't yani reject it. They didn't deny it. Yani they didn't yunkir, yani inkar. They didn't say this is wrong. The leaders combine the prayers in rainy night. And notice also Maghrib and Isha are mentioned in both of these narrations. Maghrib and Isha. And from this comes the opinion of some of the scholars that combining is for Maghrib and Isha, not for Dhuha and Asr. This is the opinion of some of the scholars. This narration is from mentioned by Irwa al-Ghalil. It's from the Muwatta of Imam Malik. Shaykh al-Bani mentioned Irwa, he said that it's sahih. Third narration, Am Musa ibn Uqba rahimahullah, anna Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahimahullah, kana yajma' bayna al-Maghrib wal-Isha al-Akhira. Yani al-Isha al-Akhira, meaning not the Maghrib, the Isha prayer. Naam. Idha kana al-Matar, yani if there was rain. Yani Uqba is saying that Umar ibn Abdulaziz, who was Umar ibn Abdulaziz? He was the, yani one of the Khalifas, that they, some, not correctly though, but sometimes he's called the fifth Khalifa. Because of his righteousness, they compared him to Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali. But of course, he wasn't the fifth Khalifa. Because before him was Muawiyah. But Muawiyah is yani a righteous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we can't put Abdulaziz, he wasn't even Sahaba. He was a great Imam, na'am, and a righteous Khalifa. But in any case, Umar ibn Abdulaziz, it is mentioned here from Musa ibn Uqba that Umar ibn Abdulaziz used to combine between Maghrib and Isha if there was rain. Wa inna Sa'id ibn Musayyib wa Urwa ibn Az-Zubayr wa Aba Bakr ibn Abd al-Rahman ومشيخة ذلك الزمان كانوا يصلون معهم ولا ينكرون ذلك. Again, the point is that when he used to combine the prayers, Maghrib and Isha prayer due to rain, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Urwa ibn Zubayr, Abu Bakr Abd al-Rahman, and the other sheikhs, the مشيخة, يعني the مشايخ of that time, the scholars of that time, they used to pray with them and they didn't يعني rebuke them about it. They didn't disagree with them. This narration also, Shaykh al-Bani said it's sahih in Irwa al-Ghalil, is mentioned by al-Bayhaqi. Fourth narration. Now, okay, all of those narrations, if you note it, right, I brought it to your attention that they all mention Maghrib and Isha only. The next narration they mention from Abd ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, qala, salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-dhuhr wal-asr jami'an wal-maghrib wal-isha جميعاً في غير خوف ولا سفر في غير خوف ولا سفر. يعني عبد ibn Abbas mentions that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to combine Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha في غير خوف, even though there was no fear, not no war, anything, ولا سفر, and he wasn't on a journey, he was not on a journey. خوف سفر. These two are well-known causes that might yani allow some rukhsa, but it's not for that reason. Okay, so that means Ibn Abbas is getting to something here. This narration is sahih. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Sahih al-Jami'. Then they said, wa anhu yani an Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu qala jama'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam bayna adh-dhuhr والعصر والمغرب والإشاء بالمدينة في غير خوف ولا مطر. Okay, again, it's mentioned, Sheikh al-Albani mentioned Sahih al-Jami' and also mentioned by Muslim, Abu Dawud, and without the ending of the, without the narration, the end of the hadith, but the narration is Sahih, Sheikh al-Albani mentioned in Sahih al-Jami'. This narration, Ibn Abbas says, Jama'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he combined between Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, like the previous narration, but here he says, Bil Madina, fi ghayri khawfin wala matarin. In the previous narration, he just said, there was no fear and he wasn't traveling. Here he said he was in Medina, which means there was no traveling, and he said, Min ghayri khawfin wala matarin. So that makes, yani, no traveling, no fear, and no inclement weather, no rain. Three things. So that means it came to what? No fear, no traveling, no rain. Three things. Because no, he's not traveling, he's in Medina. And it's not fair, it's not war, and there's no rain. So here, what Ibn Abbas is doing here, he's saying that the Prophet ﷺ combined between Dhuhr and Asr, that's one point, and Maghrib and Isha, not due to traveling, not due to fear of war, nor due to rain. For none of those reasons, which are known for combining the prayers. He wasn't traveling, it wasn't bad weather, nor was there any warfare, fear. Here, after he mentioned that, وَهُوَ يُشْعِرْ أَنَّ الْجَمْعَ لِلْمَطْرِ كَانَ مَعَرُوفًا فِي أَحْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This is Shaykh al-Albani mentioning this. Yani Shaykh al-Albani mentions in Sahih al-Jami'ah, after he mentions this statement of Ibn Abbas, he says, وَهُوَ يُشْعِرْ. Yani this statement of Ibn Abbas makes you to feel, أَنَّ الْجَمْعَ لِلْمَطْرِ كَانَ مَعْرُوفًا فِي أَحْدِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This makes you to understand that combining the prayers for rain was something that was known in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. It was known that he used to combine the prayers for rain. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ لَمَا كَانَ ثَمَّةً فَائِدَةٌ مِنْ نَفْيِ الْمَطْرِ كَسَبَبٍ مُبَرَّرٍ لِلْجَمْعِ. Here, Sheikh al-Albani is mentioning some fiqh, right? He said, this narration makes you to understand that combining the prayers due to rain was known in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. For if it had not been known, then there was no reason, there was no benefit from him saying, negating rain. Yani, by him saying there was no rain, that means we used to combine the prayers for rain. That was well known. So now he's saying, but it wasn't due to rain, which makes us to know that rain is one of the causes why the prayers used to be combined. Yani, there would have been no reason then for him to mention the negation of rain as a reason, mubarra'in, which justifies the combining of the prayers. So from these narrations, and these narrations are all related to what? The second cause of combining the prayers, the first being traveling, the second being rain or inclement weather. Shaykh al-Albani is saying here, after the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas, yani, he's saying that not only did the people combine the prayers for rain, we know also that they combined it due to traveling, and they also combined it due to fear. And here Ibn Abbas is saying, guess what? Sometimes the Prophet ﷺ combined the prayers for none of these reasons. For none of these reasons. Without that. And that leads us to the third reason for the permissibility of combining the prayers, al-hajjah, al-aridah. Al-aridah. The hajjah that is a passing hajjah. Yani it's a need that's not all the time. Something may occur. Yani aridah means something that just occurred. Yani incidental. And then it caused you to have a need to combine the prayers. Now, yani they mentioned weather and they mentioned traveling. And they didn't mention fear because fear has its own rules and regulations, okay? It does have its own rules. But because it came in this narration, we are mentioning also that under the narration, yani of Ibn Abbas, under Ibn Abbas' narrations, he mentions these three things. fear, traveling, and rain. But generally speaking, we say that the cause of commanding prayers is traveling, or the cause of commanding prayers is weather. And yani war generally comes under traveling, because normally they went out to the battle. Okay? So it generally comes under travel, but it has its own rules, and even more specific rules than what we have discussed already. But in any case here, yani under general categories, we have traveling, we have inclement weather, and we have yani no apparent reason for combining the prayers. Okay, including fear. None of the apparent reasons. This is another category altogether, and that is a passing need. Ani ibn Abbas, they mention here Ani ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, qala salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-dhuha wal-asr, jamiyan bil-madina fi ghayri khawfin wala safarin. We mentioned this before, almost the same wording, that the Prophet combined between dhuha and asr while he was in Medina, not due to fear, nor due to traveling. Now,
when he was given the khutbah,
some people use that as evidence not to combine the prayers.
When he was given the khutbah, and then they rained for a week. He said there is no evidence that the messengers of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the salah within that time period.
So that's right.
What if they use that hadith to show that you?
Well, there's no evidence that he combined that prayer.
No, he combined between the prayers during that time period because they rained for a week. And then the
yani, that hadith is a proof, as Shaykh Uthaymeen mentions, it's a proof that you can't combine between Jumu'ah and Asr. Because he was given the khutbah of Jumu'ah, and he didn't combine the prayer. That he didn't combine the prayer the whole week is not mentioned in the hadith, as far as I know. It's mentioned in the hadith that he didn't combine the prayers?
No, they said that
it doesn't mention that he combined the prayers. Listen, there's a difference between denial that he combine the prayers and not mentioning that he combined the prayers. They are not the same. I think we agree on that. Yani, in other words, not mentioning it is one thing. Denying it is another thing altogether. If the hadith says he didn't combine the prayers for that whole week, that's clear. Their argument is good. If it says that. But if it doesn't say that, it just doesn't mention that he combined the prayers, that's another matter altogether. That's debatable. That's debatable. Yani, not mentioning something doesn't necessarily mean it didn't happen. Because there are lots of hadith where the companions of the Prophet ﷺ describe his prayer or his fasting or something, and they didn't mention everything he did in the prayer. Them not mentioning it doesn't mean it didn't happen.
If it was mentioned,
that's another point. That's another point. That hadith, even he's saying, Abdul Haq is saying, mashallah, that even if it had mentioned that he didn't combine the prayers during that week, but there are other hadiths that mention on other occasions he did combine, so it's permissible. That would only mean it's not mandatory to combine the prayers in rain. It doesn't mean that, that can't mean that it's not permissible, because there are other hadiths which are clear that indicate him combining the prayers for rain. There are other hadiths that are clear. So we know that it's permissible. They would only be able to argue that it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory because this occasion he didn't do it. So that proves that it's not obligatory for you to combine the prayers. But it doesn't prove that it's not permissible because there are other proofs that show that it is permissible. In any case, I accept.
Not combine the prayer, and he said there is no hadith whatsoever that says you should combine the prayer. I wanted to get him, but I didn't want to get into the conversation because I'm not invited.
Yes, and that was right.
I remember the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min husni islam al marital kimala yani. So I didn't enter into the conversation, but I wanted to go and tell him that there is a hadith that says that.
No.
I know that people who doesn't combine the masajid, who doesn't combine the prayer, they use that as evidence that, and they also use the hadith that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, as salat ala waqtiha, because that's the point he was emphasizing to the brother. But he said, the point that is that he said there is no hadith that says that you should combine. He said this is Bukhari and this is Muslim. And I was like, I wanted to go to Bukhari and show you.
Yeah, who's that?
Ala kulli hal. Ala kulli hal, yani There's no doubt that there's no doubt about the permissibility of combining the prayers, and the least of the evidences concerning that, the least of the evidences is the Prophet, is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, yani saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the prayers and there was no rain. Why is he saying and there was no rain? Except that it was known that when it rained they used to combine the prayers. Otherwise, why is he saying that? What's stronger against them is the hadith of Ibn Abbas here, that the Prophet ﷺ combined the prayers without any apparent reason, not rain or traveling or anything else. So if it is permissible to combine when there's no rain, so why you can't combine when it's raining? And it doesn't even have to be raining, it's permissible to combine, but for a need or reason, okay? And that's what this hadith is really about. Yani in this narration, yani that we just read from Ibn Abbas, they repeated it again, similar wording, that the Prophet ﷺ combined between Dhuhr and Asr in Medina without any fear or without any traveling. Qala Abu al-Zubayr. Abu al-Zubayr, he said, Sa'altu Sa'idan, yani Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Lima fa'ala dhalika? Faqala Sa'altu ibn Abbasin, radiallahu anhu. كَمَا سَأَلْتَنِي Abu Zubair, he asked Saeed, why did he do that then? Why did he combine the prayers? He wasn't traveling, there was no rain, there was no fear. Why did he do it then? And Saeed said, I asked Ibn Abbas, just like you asking me right now, I asked Ibn Abbas the same thing. And Ibn Abbas, who is Ibn Abbas? He's a cousin of the Prophet ﷺ. He's the scholar of this ummah. Naam, Ibn Abbas. He said, I asked Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas said, فَقَالَ أَرَادَ أَنْ لَا يُحْرِجَ أَحَدًا مِنْ أُمَّتَهُ أَرَادَ Yani the Prophet ﷺ intended that he would not place any one of his ummah in difficulty. He intended to not place any one of his ummah in difficulty. So a person is in a situation where they can't get to the prayer. They can't even stop what they're doing to pray. In the most extreme situations, for example, a doctor, he's a heart surgeon, he's in the middle of a heart operation. You're going to say, just put this on hold, I got to go and pray. And the guy's heart is out of his chest. No, he's going to finish his operation. Sometime that operation could take 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours. What is he going to do? Is he going to stop and pray? He's going to have to finish that operation. That's a situation in which a person is in haraj. Yani, like, I want to pray. What am I going to do? So the Prophet ﷺ did this. Ibn Abbas said, so the person in that situation, they'll be okay. I can do it. The Prophet ﷺ did this. In this situation, I'm okay. I'm going to do this. And they don't feel haraj. Haraj means what? That when you fear Allah, and you know there's a duty upon you, and that you're in a difficult situation where you can't fulfill it, you're going to be feeling bad about that. You're going to be uptight. You're going to be nervous. You're going to be feeling like, what am I going to do? The Prophet ﷺ, he's a rahmah. He wants the people not to be in that situation. So he did this so that they will have some out, some escape, so that they will not be in difficulty. A rukhsa. This is yani mentioned by Shaykh al-Albani in Sahih al-Jami'ah. Hadith is Sahih. I mean, there are lots of examples, but the thing is, look, every example that we give, I can only give an extreme example. Because anything less than that, what happens is, a person say, you know, I gotta get a container of milk and the store is getting ready to close. I can't pray now. I mean, we know that it should be extreme situation. Not, you know, I didn't have a glass of Tropicana orange juice today and the supermarket is gonna be closed in a little while, you know. I mean, we used to couldn't get bread to eat for the whole day if we didn't get bread at Fajr time from the bakery, because the bakery only had from the government rations. Every day, one or two or three bags of flour, whatever they baked that morning, when it was sold, it was done. If you went to the Fajr prayer and came and got online, khalas, the bread is going to be gone. That's like haraj. You're not going to eat any bread. That's not like... You're not going to starve, but... Okay, so what you have to do? You have to think. Guess what? There's another bakery far from my house. It was real far from my house. Maybe half an hour walking. And if you go to that bakery, you can pray Fajr and still get to the bakery and get some bread. So a person has to think. Yani every situation of difficulty is not allow you to don't pray. Sometimes you just have to make a little greater effort. But if it's an extreme situation, you excuse. Don't be in haraj. That's the extreme situation. Is when you it's really a difficult problem. You don't really have an easy way to get out of. So this is like, you know, a person has to think and have to fear Allah. And don't take this as an excuse just to, yani, combine prayers every day. Yani, every day some people combine the prayers. We went to a masjid yesterday, and we came to the masjid, and we're waiting for Asr prayer, before the Asr prayer came, and a guy came and said, oh, they already combined. I said, they combined for what? He said, the weather. I'm saying, the weather? We were just outside with no coats on. It wasn't no rain. It wasn't no snow. It wasn't freezing weather. It was nothing. How they combine the prayers? That's the problem. That's what we want to be careful of. Person is haraj, na'am, combine the prayers. No haraj, don't make this as the rule. Okay, let's try to finish, because this point, there's some more commentary that we want to get to that's very important. Okay, after that, wajiz, in wajiz they mention, wa anhu. And also, again, from Abdullah bin Abbas, jama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bayna dhuhr wa asr wal maghrib al-isha. And previous hadith mentioned dhuhr and asr. This narration mentions dhuhr and asr, and maghrib and isha. Bil Medina, yani in Medina, fi ghayri khawf wa la matar, without any fear or any rain, qila li Ibn Abbas. It was said to Ibn Abbas, ma arada ila dhalika. What did he want by that? What did the Prophet intend by doing this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qala, arada an la yuhrija ummatahu. He wanted, he intended not to put his ummah into difficulty. Qala al-imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, fi sharh Muslim. Imam Nawawi says in explanation Sahih Muslim, this is a quote from Imam Nawawi, wa dhahaba jama'atun min al-a'imma ila jawaz al-jam fil hadr lil haja liman la yattakhidhuhu adatan. Liman la yattakhidhuhu adatan. A group from amongst the imams, the scholars of this ummah, the imams, hold the view that it's permissible to combine fil hadr, while a person is resident, lil haja, for a need, if there is a need to do so. As long as it is that person, they don't take it as their habit. Yani just combining the prayers every day. وَهُوَ قَوْلُ ابْنِ سَرِينَ. And then he mentions, and now he mentions, some of the scholars that he's talking about here, جَمَعَ مِنَ الْأَئِمَّةِ, he mentions some of their names. He says, Ibn Sirin, yani Muhammad ibn Sirin from the Tabi'een. Ashhab min ashab al-Malik. Okay, Maliki madhab. Wa hakahu al-Khatabi, yani Khatabi from Shafi'i madhab. He said, wa Khatabi mentions it from Qaffal and Ash-Shashi al-Kabir min ashab al-Shafi'i. Yani meaning, here Imam Nawawi has mentioned some of the scholars from different madhahib, from Maliki madhab, from Shafi'i madhab. And then he says, wa an Abi Ishaq al-Marwazi. An jama'atun min ashabul hadith. And as well, those who are not sticking to a madhab, but they are the ashabul hadith, the people who are strong, yani in following the sunnah. Forget about the madhab. Also from amongst them, Ishaq ibn Marwazi mentions that a group from ashabul hadith also hold this view of combining between Maghrib and Isha and Asr and Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha, yani without any rain or anything, just because there's a need. Wa ikhtarahu Ibn Munzir also hold this opinion. وَيُؤَيِّدُهُ ظَهِرْ قَوْلِ Ibn Abbas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And this opinion is supported by the apparent meaning from the statement of Ibn Abbas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, أَرَادَ أَنْ لَا يُحْرِجَ أُمَّتَهُ فَلَمْ يُعَلِّلْهُ بِمَرْضٍ وَلَا غَيْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ عَالَمٍ. That's the end of the quote of Imam Nawawi. He said this opinion, this view is supported by the statement of Ibn Abbas that the Prophet ﷺ did this combining without any apparent reason so as not to make any difficulty upon his ummah. And so he didn't give any reason for it. لَمْ يُعَلِّلْهُ. He didn't say, what's the illah? What is the cause or the reason for this combining? He didn't say that it was due to sickness or due to other than that. And Allah knows best. This is what Imam Nawawi said. And after this, he's saying that Ibn Abbas didn't give any reason for it. I mean, he didn't say that it was for this reason or that reason, because he, yani, left it open. He said the Prophet ﷺ did this. He mentioned some of the reasons that it wasn't for. So he, meaning that he's saying here, he didn't do it for some apparent reason that we know, that it was due to traveling, or was due to sickness, or was due to rain, or was due to some reason. He didn't give any reason for it. He just did it without giving any reason, and this is so that the Ummah will be in ease and not be in hardship. Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, go ahead. We only have two more readings, and then we're going to be finished, but go ahead.
That even Abbas himself, he didn't know the reason. Because if he knows and he doesn't tell the people...
Well, he knows that his understanding. They asked him, why did the Prophet do that? He said the Prophet did it for a reason. He did it so he wouldn't make haraj on his ummah. There is a reason. It's not the reasons that people would think. Ibn Abbas saying it's not for those reasons. Rather, he did it so that the people in difficulty would have an out. That's the reason why he did it. So that anybody from his ummah that was in difficulty, that would be their way out. That's the he did have a reason. That's the reason. That's what Ibn Abbas says.
So that's the reason.
That's the reason. Yani, he meaning he didn't give a reason from the things that people think you would combine the prayers for. But rather, he left it open as just to eliminate the haraj on the people. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says in Jami al-Ahkam, li-fiqh al-Sunnah, and this is again, I said, it's not in the book of Salat, it's in the book of Hajj. In the book of Hajj. He mentions in the book of Hajj, yani on page 301 and 302, he says, وَأَمَّا الْجَمْعَ بَيْنَ الظُّهُرُ وَعَصَرُ وَبَيْنَ الْمَغْرِبُ وَالْإِشَاءُ فَهُوَ سُنَّةٌ لِلْمُسَافِرُ إِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَيْهِ إِذَا جَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرُ. This is how it came in one of the narrations. Sheikh is quoting from a narration here. He's saying, إِذَا جَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرُ. And Sheikh Abdullah Ali Bassam, in the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, he mentions this narration, discuss it in detail, and he supports the view of the scholars who say that combining is only إِذَا جَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرِ. Yani if a person is in the course of traveling on the road, on the highway, not you stopped over someplace. This is the view of some of the scholars. Shaykh Uthaymeen is mentioned in this view here. He said that as far as combining between Dhuhr and Asr, and between Maghrib and Isha, فَهُوَ السُنَّةِ لِلْمُسَافِرِ إِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ إِلَيْهِ. Yani it is a sunnah for the traveling person when there is a need to for it, either jadda bihi sayr, if he's actually on the road. And then in that case he has a need to combine the prayers because he didn't want to stop for every prayer. Yani wastamarra bihi. So he continued in traveling and he'll just stop, yani in one of the times of either of the two prayers and combine them. فَيَفْعَلُ مَا هُوَ الْأَرْفَقْ بِهِ مِنْ جَمْعِ التَّقْدِيمِ أَوْ التَّأْخِيرِ. So then that person will do ma huwa al-arfaq, yani that which is easier, more convenient for him to do. Either combining in the taqdeem, earlier time, or in the ta'khir, in the later time. Meaning, he will combine dhuhr and asr in the time of dhuhr if that's easier, or he will combine dhuhr and asr in the time of asr if that's easier, whichever one is easier. Fafi al-sahihain, and the proof for this is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would travel, before the sun had begun to set, he would delay the dhuhr until the time of asr, and then he would descend and combine between the two of them. And if the sun had set it before he traveled, then he would pray dhuhr only, and then he would ride. And he mentions the hadith that we mentioned before, but then he mentions another narration which is more specific to this particular discussion here. That is the narration of Al-Bayhaqi. Yani the first narration, yani it mentions the permissibility of combining, but depending on if the person is already on a journey or not. This narration of Bayhaqi, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا كَانَ فِي سَفَرٍ. It's clear in this that he's actually on a journey already. إِذَا كَانَ فِي سَفَرٍ وَزَالَتَ الشَّمْسِ صَلَّى الظُّهُرْ وَالْعَصَرْ جَمِيًا. If the time for dhuhr came in, then he would pray dhuhr and asr together. But this means what? He's already on a journey. He departed from Medina and he's already on a journey. If the time for dhuhr came in, he would pray both of them. The previous narration said he would just pray dhuhr and then he would travel. And that's in reference to what? If he had not begun the journey. And this is in reference to if he was already on a journey. Then he says, "Amma idha lam yakun musafir." This is Shaykh Uthaymeen now. That's the end of the hadith. Shaykh Uthaymeen is saying, "Rahimahullah, wa amma idha lam yakun al musafir muhtajan lil jam'i fala yajma." Okay, Shaykh is saying that if the musafir, he's a traveler, he's on the road, but if he didn't have a need to combine, then he doesn't combine. Even though he's a traveler, if he doesn't have a need to combine, then he doesn't decline. He doesn't, then he combine. Okay, let me just finish this statement, and then inshallah we'll try to see if we can get some understanding. Mithla an yakuna nazilan. And here is where the difference of opinion is that I referred to earlier, and then we're going to look at the details of this particular discussion. مثل أن يكون نازلا في مكان لا يريد أن يرتحل منه إلا بعد دخول وقت الثانية. يعني he's saying that if a person is not جد به السير, he's not actually on the road. Now the Shaykh is addressing that issue. That's the view that he's expressing here. He said that if a person is not in need of combining, then he doesn't combine. For example, if he is نازلا, he stopped over somewhere during the journey, and لا يريد أن يرتحل, he's not going to get back on the road again until after the entry of the time of the next prayer. And he stopped for dhuhr, and he's going to be in that place when asr comes in. So there's no need to combine, he's saying. No need to combine. Fine, no need to combine. But is it permissible to combine? That's the question. Is it permissible to combine? He said, so that's an example of what? A person who's on the road, but they don't have a need to combine. Why? Because they stopped over somewhere and they're going to be there for a few hours until the time of the next prayer. So he said in that case, he does not combine. فَالْأَوْلَى عَدْمَ الْجَمْ لِأَنَّهُ غَيْرُ مُحْتَاجِ إِلَيْهِ. In this case, he said what is better is that he doesn't combine the prayers because there's no need for it. وَلِذَلِكَ, and then he gives as a proof, وَلِذَلِكَ لَمْ يَجْمَعْ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ هِينَ كَانَ نَازِلًا فِي مِنَى في حجة الوداع لعدم حاجة إليه. And for this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم didn't combine the prayers while he was in Mina on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And on the returning to Mina after Arafat on the 10th and the 11th and the 12th. Also, he didn't combine the prayers in Mina. He would pray each of the prayers in their times. So the Shaykh is saying here what? This is a proof that even though you're a traveler, if you stop over some place and there's no need to combine, then what is better, al-awla, is adam al-jam, because you are not in need of it. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the farewell pilgrimage, when he was in Mina, he didn't combine the prayers because there was no need for it. Okay, the last comment I want to make is from al-imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani in his ikhtiyarat al-fiqhiyah, in what has been collected from his chosen fiqh opinions. And his book is the Fiqh Opinions of Shaykh al-Albani. On the chapter of Salat as Safar, under the issue number 178, on page 162 and 163, issue number 178 and 179, the first issue, he says, 178, Hukum al-Jam fi Safar. Yani, what is the ruling concerning combining the prayers while you're traveling? He makes 3 points here. Combining the prayers while traveling. He makes 3 points, and each of these points we looked at briefly. We're going to take another final look at them. قال الألباني رحمه الله في الصحيحة. Yani, this is the place where they're quoting from. Yani, سلسلة الحديث الصحيحة. And they mention the reference for it. He said, قال بجواز الجمع بين الصلاتين في السفر. This is the first point. And Shaykh al-Albani's view is that it's permissible to combine the prayers while you're traveling. That's a cause that allows for combining the prayers. That's one issue. وَلَوْ فِي غَيْرِ عَرَفَةٍ وَمُزْدَلِفَةٍ. Even if a person is not in Arafah and not in Muzdalifah. Why is he saying that? Because some people say you can only combine prayers if you're in Arafah and Muzdalifah. Because the Prophet combined. He didn't combine in Mina. He combined in Arafah and that night in Muzdalifah. He didn't combine in Mina. Shaykh is saying, وَلَوْ فِي غَيْرِ عَرَفَةٍ وَمُزْدَلِفَةٍ. This is the Hanafi view, that combining prayers should be in Arafah or Muzdalifah. Otherwise, their combining of prayers is not really combining of prayers, meaning they would delay dhuhr until it's almost time for asr, and pray dhuhr in the end of the time of asr, at the end of the time of dhuhr, and then pray asr in the beginning of the time of asr. That's not really combining prayers. That's what they call combining prayers. Shaykh is saying that it's permissible to combine prayers while you're on a journey, even if it's other than Arafah and Muzdalifah. وَهُوَ مَذْهَبْ جَمْهُورَ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And this is the madhab of the majority of the scholars. Second point. وَأَنَّ الْجَمْ كَمَا يَجُوزُ تَأْخِيرًا يَجُوزُ تَقْدِيمًا. And the combining of prayers, just as it is permissible to do it in the later time, it's also permissible to do it in an earlier time. And you can combine either in the early, in the later time, delaying dhuhr until asr and maghrib until isha, or you can combine in the earlier time. Both of them are permissible. وَبِهِ قَالَ الْإِمَامَ الشَّافِي فِي الْأُمِّ. First volume, 67th page. And this is the opinion of Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, mentioned in his book Al-Umm. Yani, some scholars only believe in praying them in the later time, but not in the earlier time. And Shaykh is saying, you can combine the prayers, yani, if you're a traveler. Absolute, without consideration to place. And you also can combine them at either time, earlier or later time. That's the second point. And the third point that he makes, وَأَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ الْجَمْ فِي حَال نُزُولِهِ كَمَا يَجُوزُ إِذَا جَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرِ. And Shaykh is saying, he's saying that it's permissible to combine while a person is in the condition of having stopped over. فِي حَال نُزُولِهِ. Just like it's permissible, إِذَا جَدَّ بِهِ السَّيْرِ. Yani just as it's permissible if you actually on the road, actually traveling. If you stop over someplace, it's permissible just as well. And the proof of that is what we mentioned in the beginning. Remember, I said we're going to come to it. The hadith of stopping over. Mu'adh, the hadith of Mu'adh. He said he went into his tent, he delayed the prayer, he came out and prayed dhuhr and asr, he went back in the tent, later on he came back out, and he prayed during maghrib and isha, while he was on a stopover. That's a clear proof that is permissible, not only if you're on the road, but even if you stop over someplace. قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الشَّافِعِي فِي الْأُمِّ بَعْدَ أَنْ رَوَى هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ طَرِيقِ مَالِكِ وَهَذَا وَهُوَ النَّازِلُ غَيْرَ سَائِرٍ. Yani, the Shaykh, now Shaykh al-Albani is calling Imam Shafi'i and supporting the opinion that it's permissible to combine prayers for the traveler, even if you stop over someplace. Even if you stop over someplace, Imam Shafi says the proof of this is that, yani, the hadith that he's narrating from Malik, we mentioned the hadith of Mu'adh that mentions this point. He said, Imam Shafi said, وَهَذَا وَهُوَ النَّازِلْ غَيْرُ سَائِرٍ. That is, this is when he was nazil, he had stopped over, not while he was jaddabi his sayyid. He wasn't actually in the course of traveling, meaning he wasn't on the road. لِأَنَّ قَوْلُهُ, Imam Shafi is saying, the proof of this is in this hadith, he's saying, دَخَلَ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. He entered the tent, and he came out of the tent. He came out and he prayed dhuhr and asr, he entered, he came out again and prayed maghrib isha. That means he was nazil, غَيْرَ سَائِر. وَلَا يَكُونَ إِلَّا وَهُوَ نَازِل. And this entering and coming out, all of this, Imam Shafi says, this will not be except for the person who has stopped over somewhere. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. فَلِلْمُسَافِرُ فَلِلْمُسَافِرِ أَنْ يَجْمَعَ نَازِلًا وَسَائِرًا. So it is permissible for the traveler to combine the prayers even when he stops over. When he stops over or when he's actually still on the road. So combining the prayers is permissible for the traveler between dhuhr and asr, maghrib, isha. And likewise, it's permissible to perform them in the earlier time or in the later time. And likewise, it's permissible when you're on the road traveling to stop, or when you have stopped over for some time, is also permissible. That was the first point. I said 2 points, 178 and 179. Now, yeah, and he can pray them in their times. And he can also combine them. The issue of praying them in their times is not the issue. The issue is, can you combine them because you're stopping over? That's where there's difference of opinion. Can you combine them? As far as praying them in their time, that's well known. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying that's what's preferable, to pray them in their time. Shaykh al-Albani is saying that is permissible. It doesn't matter. You can pray them, you can combine them, even if you're stopping over someplace. And that's what Imam Shafi is saying here, that even though you have stopped over, you can combine the prayers. But from this we can understand that if there's no need, it's better to pray the prayers in their time. But if there's a need because you're traveling and you're feeling hardship and difficulty, and maybe you need some rest, then it's permissible for you to combine the prayers. Even though you're stopping over, it is permissible. That's the point we want to say. Even though you stopped over, it's permissible if there's a need to do so. Otherwise, the original rule is praying the prayers in their time. The last issue, and this is the end of what we want to read today, is the second issue from Sheikh Al-Albani. Is it permissible to combine? هل الجمع في السفر سنة أم يفعل للحاجة? The combining of the prayers for the traveler, is it sunnah? Or should a person only do it if there's a need, as Sheikh Uthaymeen said? If there's only if there's a need. Or is this the sunnah? Yani whenever you're traveling, yani you should combine the prayers. Khalas, automatically combine all the prayers. And then he says, yani in Sahiha, volume 1, page 266, قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. يعني الشيخ الألباني is quoting from الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. في مجموع رسائل والمسائل. في مجموع الرسائل والمسائل. Volume 2, 26 and 27, الشيخ الألباني is quoting الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية saying, إن الجمع ليس من سنة السفر. إن الجمع ليس من سنة السفر. كالقصر. Like قصر. قصر is from سنة السفر. If you are traveling, you should shorten the prayers. As far as combining, al-jam laysa min sunnati safar. And combining the prayers is not from the sunnahs of traveling, like shortening the prayers is. Bal yuf'al lil haja. Rather, it should only be done for need. Sawa'an kana fi safar aw fi al-hadr. It's equal, the same, whether you're traveling or you are resident. Combining the prayers should be done for need. فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ جَمَعَ أَيْدًا فِي الْحَضْرِ. For indeed the Prophet also combined the prayers when he was resident, not just when he was traveling. So this combining the prayers is permissible. Yani, but Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, if there's a need. لِأَلَّا يُحْرَجْ أُمَّتَهُ لِأَلَّا يُحْرِجْ أُمَّتَهُ أَوْ يُحْرَجُ أُمَّتُهُ. Yani, he's saying, meaning that this is so that yani the Prophet, when he did it when he was resident, he did it so that he would not make difficulty for his ummah. Falil musafir idha ihtaja ila al-jam sawan kana dhalika li sayrihi waqt al-thaniya aw al-ula wa shakka an-nuzul alayhi aw kana ma nuzulihi li haja ukhra. Yani Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah saying, so it is the right of the traveler. إِذَا أَحْتَاجَ إِلَى الْجَمْ. If he is in need of combining the prayers, it doesn't matter if that need is due to him being on the road. يعني لِسَيْدِهِ وَقْتَ ثَانِيَ أَوَ الْأُولَى. If he's on the road, he knows he's going to be on the road during the time of the second prayer or even the time of the first prayer. It doesn't matter. If he has a need to combine the prayers due to his traveling in the time of the second prayer or the first prayer, وَشَكَّ النُّزُولَ عَلَيْهِ, and it would be difficult for him to stop yani at each time of the prayer. Or, if he has a need, or the other reason could be, كَانَ مَا نُزُولِهِ لِهَاجَ. Even though he has stopped over someplace, but he has some other need. Not that the problem is, it's going to be difficult to stop. He already stopped, but he has some other need, then it's also permissible, yani, for need, to combine the prayers, whether it's because he's on the road or even if he already stopped someplace, but there's some other reason for him needing to combine the prayers, then it's permissible to combine the prayers. And this is what we want to present for today.
So
Sheikh Al-Albani, he's quoting Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah. Why? Well, he's in agreement with that. He's saying this is what's correct, and that's why he's quoting him. So in any case, the point is, right? The point is that yani the combining of the prayers is not the same as the shortening of the prayers. Shortening the prayers is connected to traveling. Combining the prayers is not, except if there's a need. Whether you're on the road or you're stopping over. If there's a need, combine the prayers. Otherwise, the original rule, the asal, is the prayers should be prayed in their time. What could be the need? He said, haja ukhra, any other need. It might be just that you're tired. And you know that I'm not going to wake up for the next prayer. I'm going to sleep. I might not wake up. So I'm going to combine the prayers. That's a need, and that's permissible to do it. Okay, let me just stop here. Let me just stop here, inshallah, and then we'll take questions. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu.